This message was recorded at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. During this time, Pastor Gardner answers various questions.
If we really are supposed to not say anything bad about the painter, then is it okay to wear makeup and color our hair? Isn't that saying God didn't design us right and we're trying to prove what he already perfectly designed? I don't know how I get these questions. I don't know who said something making these up. Well, let me ask you a question. Jesus would answer a question with a question. So should you brush your teeth or just accept the way God made your mouth and your early morning breath? How many of you want your wife not to use makeup and not to brush your teeth and not to take a bath? Because God didn't make us taking baths either. Amen. I'm all for the shaving the legs, shaving the face, putting on underarm deodorant, putting on a little makeup. And I don't think we're insulting. Now, you know, I would say this. Honestly, you ought to accept the way you are. Clean up yourself and make yourself as presentable as you can. I would tell you, I personally don't think you need to go get lifts and Botox and liposuction or any of that other stuff. Hey, just hang with the way you are. That's enough on that question. Next. Why don't we have an Awana club or something similar? Well, I think you should talk to Robert Canfield about that. And we're supposed to have something, and I'm not sure what we have, and that is literally the best answer I have right now. I really don't know. How is Sunday supposed to be a day of rest since it is always so busy? Good question, but nobody ever said it's supposed to be a day of rest. You're confused. Saturday was the day of rest. We're on Sunday, and that's not the day of rest. Amen. So Sunday's our worship day. Sunday's our worship day. It's a day that the disciples got together early in the morning. It's the day the disciples got together early in the morning and found out Jesus had risen. That morning, you know, they go to the tomb. They find out he's risen. In the book of Acts, we find a meeting on Sunday. In the book of John, they're going to meet on Sunday at least two times. In one passage of Scripture, they're going to meet on Sunday. And that's our day that we celebrate the resurrection. And to be honest with you, you ought to take time to worship God. That's what Sunday's for. And yes, it's busy. It's busy because you come to church and you come to Sunday morning, Sunday school and church, and you ought to, and you come to Sunday evening service, and maybe you're helping with teachers and workers, or maybe you're part of the choir, or maybe whatever. But you know what? It's rest because it's not what you were doing yesterday. It's not what you do on Monday through Friday in your work days. It's a time you set aside to worship God. But let me just tell you this. This is not the Sabbath. Some older Christians think that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. But this isn't a Christian Sabbath. This is the Christian first day of the week. It's the day that we set aside to worship God. And so it's not necessarily a day of rest. It's a day of not working your regular job so you have time to worship God. And that's what we do on Sunday. I got 5 minutes. Explain your philosophy of music. Don't listen to it. Next. My philosophy of music. Not, the teenagers make up these questions. Who made up these questions? I honestly don't have a philosophy of music if you're talking about what I personally listen to, because I don't personally listen to music. That's not because I'm anti-music. It's because I always kind of feel like if I can be listening to something, I'll listen to something I think can teach me. So I prefer to listen to an audio book or a podcast. So I really don't listen to music. But let's just give you some Bible things. I am personally pretty strong on the Bible is the Word of God, and it has all the answers that I need. The Bible doesn't give a whole lot of information about the kind of music we're supposed to listen to, contrary to what many Bible preachers have probably told you. It doesn't talk about a syncopated beat. It doesn't talk about which musical instruments to use. It doesn't talk about that, but I can tell you that there are, in fact, I've heard preachers make fun of 7-Eleven praise songs, same 7 words repeated 11 times, or the same 11 words repeated 7 times, and they like to make fun of that. And I could take you to Psalms and show you that David liked to do that. David actually liked to repeat the same words over and over in a song, and David was Holy Spirit inspired to write his songs. So I'm not against the same words being repeated, but let's just say this: every song ought to be biblically true. We ought to check out every phrase and every word and make sure that what's being sung honors and pleases God. We ought to make sure that the music, the instruments, the beat, and everything else doesn't overshadow what's going on with the message. We ought to, I don't want to adapt my music from the world. I don't want our church to adapt music from the world. I want us to try to sing what's in the Bible. So if you want the truth, and I'm sure there's a question behind the question. So I'm just trying to guess what your question behind the question is. And if your question is, do I feel like that it's wrong for you to listen to certain music? I'll say this, any music that promotes rebellion, any music that promotes sex outside of marriage, any music that promotes violence or cursing, violence against women, violence against each other, doing things that aren't right, I would say that's not a very biblical music and not stuff that you ought to be involved in. And I really don't have a personal music thing. Philip Basham and Mark Tolson wrote some good information, and if you'll write, I'll just see what I'll do. I will see to it that it gets on the Visions blog and on my personal blog, the philosophy that they wrote. They are much more into that than I am. I'm not trying to dodge that question. The blunt truth is, if you know me, you know I don't listen to music. My favorite music of all anywhere in the world is that whatever they're singing at Vision. That's the honest truth. When the young people that get up here and sing, I love it. I love it because I know them. I know their testimony. I know they love Jesus, and I like it. I like the way Kristen plays the piano because I think there are, take this as the babblings of a soppy, sentimental old man, but I think those are Holy Spirit fingers. I think she loves Jesus. I think she's trying to please Jesus, so I like it. I like it when our young people are over here playing different instruments. I like it when Cindy's over there. Cindy, I think, loves Jesus, so I like it. So I really like it because I know these people, I know their heart, and I know that the music is being chosen in a way to try to honor Jesus, and I think that's the best I can answer on that. I got about a minute. Is there another one? I don't know. I don't know if Cyrus, the king of Persia, was a believer since he commanded the rebuilding of the temple. I think there's probably good, you could say he was, you could say he was. I'm not sure, can't really answer that question. Don't think the Bible makes it super clear. Next one. Why is Jesus called the Word in John 1:1? Because he is, and that sums that one up. Somebody asked me this week, they said, what was the question? They said, why in Acts chapter 1 and 2 did they speak in tongues and they hear it in all the different languages? In another place, they needed an interpreter, and they asked me why. And my answer was, because that's the way God wanted it done, that's why. They said, well, that's not a good answer. I said, all right, then why did God create the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh and not create it in 4 days? They said, because he did it in six. I said, good, then that's why. He's the Word. He's the Word because he's the Word because the Word is the expression of who he is. Because you can know Jesus through the Word. Because he is all wisdom, and through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you'll know him. I think that'll be all your questions, or is there another one? Two more. Throw them quick. I will answer that question next Sunday. It's actually in John chapter 10, the next passage, so come to church next Sunday. How about that? Next one. I was approached by a coworker, and he wants to know if he can divorce his wife because neither of them love each other because they married due to a pregnancy. How should I respond? I would respond the way I would think Jesus would. What God had joined together, let no man put asunder. That would be my best answer. I would never advise divorce. I wouldn't get involved in it. I wouldn't fight with them. I wouldn't criticize them. I wouldn't be ugly to them. But I never would advise divorce. I would advise them to love their spouse and to work at building their marriage and try to save their marriage. So, guys, let me tell you this. We love people that are divorced. We love people that have gone through divorces. Well, I love you if you're having trouble. But I will never, ever, ever, ever promote divorce. I am not for it. My daughter's divorced and remarried. I will not promote that. I will not promote that. Stay married to your partner. Work on it. We're going to have wedding vow renewal next week. Do it. We're going to have a marriage retreat. Go to it. Work on your marriage. Betty and I have been married long, long time. And in the long time, we work at staying married. We work at it. Honestly, I'm not teasing when I say this. I work at always thinking the sweetest thoughts about Betty. When she walks across the room, when she's doing things, I make sure in my mind, to try to think great things about her. So what ends up happening is sweet things come out of my mouth when I see her. I walk in the room and I often just tell her how beautiful she is. You say, how can you do that? You just, you have it scheduled to say she's beautiful. No, but if you work at your thought process, if you keep negative thoughts in your head, you're always going to have negative junk coming out of your mouth. If you keep sweet, positive things about your spouse in your head, they're going to come out. Let's don't promote divorce ever. That's it, right? Oh. I saw a puppy eating out of a bowl that had a T-bone steak in it, and that puppy was winning the Super Bowl. And I am absolutely not sure who will win the Super Bowl. What did somebody tell me before? Either way, Tim Tebow wins because he's a born-again Christian and not afraid of it. My only interest in football is Tim Tebow, because the man's not afraid to say he's a Christian. And I hope you're not. So there's going to be some gospel tracks over there. There's going to be some gospel tracks over there. And if Tim Tebow can say he's a Christian on TV and everywhere else, and he can Tebow it when he prays, you ought to get you some tracks. I think they're on that table over there, are they? Is that correct? And you can pick up 7 tracks. Why don't you give out some gospel tracks, and why don't you share the gospel of Jesus Christ this week for His honor and for His glory.
You have been listening to Austin Gardner, pastor of Vision Baptist Church. For contact information, location, service times, or more audio and video recordings, log on to www.visionbaptist.com.